weak ass fucking clap.
Yeah, man. I was like, about to say, what's going on with you? You all right?
You know what that's like when you go and you meet somebody and you go to shake their hand.
Oh yeah, they give you a limpy handshake.
Yeah, yeah. The dead fish handshake.
Yeah.
Like, what the hell are you doing? Like, male or female? Like, God, at least hold the hand like it's an object that you're not afraid of. You know.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. Maybe they are afraid of it.
Maybe they're afraid of social stuff.
Howie Mandel, like germaphobes.
Exactly, or germaphobes.
Oh. I don't know. What are you drinking this morning?
Coffee.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I have.
I didn't know if you. I didn't see the mug. I saw the thermos thing. I didn't know.
I got the thermos thing because it is freezing out here. We've had a snowy weekend, and so it is cold as fuck. So rather than get a coffee mug like this, that the coffee will get cold in about 10 seconds, I keep it in an airtight thermos and then pour it as I want to drink
work.
It. What's that?
Yep. It's a good smart way to do things. You know what else is apparently a smart way to do things?
What's that?
Say you've got a complete cut of a film.
Okay,
and then go. I need to talk shit because.
Okay, here's the thing. I had a feeling you'd complain about this because you're you. So for those who don't know, the Snyder cut of Justice League is going through sort of extensive reshoots. They have lots of people joining. They have Joker joining. They have who else do they have joining? I know the Joker is the big one, but there's someone. Oh yeah,
Batman and Wonder Woman. Ben Affleck and Gal Gadot
and Joe Manganiello as Deathstroke as well.
Yep.
So and even Nick Dahl in last week's Breaking Geek Reader, the podcast, basically said the same thing, saying like, oh. Well, they must have been lying about this cut then, because clearly he has to go and shoot everything. And I'm like, no, there was still like a 3 hour plus cut of this thing. Like, believe it or not, there was still a 3 hour plus cut, but it sounds like HBO Max is willing to give them extra money and things to add stuff, to pad it out, to make it like a 4 hour thing. Mm-hmm. So like, this is not the Snyder cut anymore. This is no longer the Snyder cut, in my opinion.
No.
This is more.
Zack Snyder's Justice League.
Yeah, this is more than the Snyder cut. So it's like, it's not that the story wasn't finished or that it wasn't done. It's just that he was given the opportunity to do more, so he's taking advantage of it.
Yeah, it's just like poking the bear out there, the proverbial DC fandom bear that are.
I mean, I'm the bear too. I'm the bear too, because like I'm totally a DC fan, and but it bothers me when people like you take nothing burgers of stories and then blow them up like it's nothing, or like it's something.
But it's so much fun. I don't know what. What do you think about the Leto thing? Do you think that's Snyder having some sympathy that most of Leto's DC work was left on a cutting room floor? Or do you think
I think originally he intended? I don't know if he originally intended, but I don't think it has to do with him feeling sorry for him. I think it has everything to do with him wanting to use him in some way, whether or not it was originally planned or not. That's a whole different subject altogether.
Yeah, like not necessarily his Joker, but a Joker at all. In general, because we know what. Well, no, it's a BVS where you see Robin's bronzed suit, right? Not Justice League.
Or is BVS it Justice League? Received. BVS received.
Where you see Robin's?
Yeah, we see his suit. We see a suit. Yeah.
Is that BVS or is that Justice
League? No, that's BVS. That's Batman v Superman.
Okay, yeah. I couldn't fucking remember. Anyways. So we know that a Joker has existed. So does this mean Leto's Joker is going to be in a flashback scene for the Death in the Family scene? Is
that? I don't know about that. That's kind of a... maybe. I was about to say it's kind of a push, but then again, it would help tie in BVS, because that one did bother me about Batman v Superman, how there was no point to seeing that suit. Like, it didn't add anything. It literally, he just walked up, he looked at it, and he walked out. Oh, shoot. Someone signed me out?
Uh-oh. No? Yours?
I'm still recording.
Yeah, you're good to go, man.
All right. I got a notification that someone signed in from another device, therefore it signed me out. So we'll just keep going. Anyways, we have our audio anyway.
We'll keep going, yeah.
So yeah, I don't think what was the question?
Shit, I was asking. It was about
I don't think there was any point to that scene in Batman v Superman other than world building. And kind of showing, oh, look at this. This is what came before. You know, I wish there was more of a point to it other than him just looking at it. But we don't get really anything more than we do get from the freaking trailer, which just shows the suit with the spray paint on it. So, but yeah, I'm excited for more. You know, I'm excited to see Zack Snyder Unchained. I'm excited to see how things could have been, even though it's not going to be what would have been. It's like a souped up version of what could have been.
Yeah. I have to wonder if there's going to be I will wonder how big the HBO Max Snyder Justice League ad push will be. And at around what time will we start seeing those ads pushed?
I don't think it's going to be that extensive.
You don't think so? Oh?
No, because they already spent a lot of money on actually creating it. They may as well.
That's why I was wondering.
Yeah, I just don't think it's going to be that much because of how much it's how much money they already have spent on it, on creating it. I think Netflix has proven that you can kind of let it speak for itself. Yes, there will be ads, but I don't think it's going to be like all over the place. Does that make sense?
Mm. Yeah, I guess. I was just wondering because, I mean they... not as bad as Disney, apparently, because more people watched stuff on HBO Max than Disney Plus. In that one chart we were looking at, I've apparently developed some hiccups. That one chart you and I were looking at sometime last week, an episode we did, and it was like, but there was only a short, small jump between HBO Max pre-Max, when it was just HBO Go and your HBO subscription, and then the watch hours after it became HBO Max went up just a little bit, but Disney's was like paltry. So I have to wonder, like, does Disney Warner Brothers plan on using this as a subscriber vehicle at all?
Oh yeah, absolutely, 1,000%.
So they would have to advertise.
I mean, they'll advertise some, but I don't think it's going to be like huge.
Yeah.
Like,
you don't
it's probably
going to be a big one.
I mean, it's not going to be bigger than The Mandalorian, and The Mandalorian honestly isn't that big with the advertising push.
Not at all.
That's the thing, is streaming.
It sells itself.
It's all stream. Yeah, exactly. It sells itself. Exactly. Like, this is Zack Snyder's Justice League. This is a 4-hour Justice League live action, high visual effects, never before seen director's cut of something that was much maligned. It sells itself. Yeah, there'll be some advertisement, but I think they're going to rely heavily on word of mouth and on, you know, that type of thing.
I wonder what the release is going to be like, one episode a week.
Maybe. It might actually, I think my guess would be one a week for 4 weeks. And then a release of the movie version / black and white version, because I guess people want a black and white version. I don't know. People, yeah, they've talked about that. I do not understand the obsession people have with black and white. Like, when people were like, the black and chrome edition of Mad Max Fury Road, the black and white edition of Logan, like it,
the Kurosawa mode for Ghost of Tsushima.
Because the thing is, I might appreciate that a bit more because it's a video game, so it's able to modify its visual style into something that's better. But when you have a movie that was shot and lit for color.
Yeah.
You're not adding anything to it.
Black and white. Yeah.
Yeah.
No.
You're not adding. You're taking away something. And you know this Kurosawa is in stark contrast.
Do very well either.
This is a stark in stark contrast to something like The Lighthouse, which was shot for black and white and looks amazing in black and white.
Right.
Or Sin City, which was made specially for black and white and is technically, you know, different from what you'd expect to see from black and white. It wasn't like grayish. It was like full on black, white, harsh contrast and stuff. Like there's a reason why it was done that way. Or The Artist,
you know,
which was shot for a specific reason to be in black and white because it sort of evoked a certain feeling. But it was shot that way, so it was optimized, visually optimized for it. So there's a huge difference between that. And for me, it just reeks of, I don't know, I feel bad saying this.
Gimmick.
Fan pretension. Without fully understanding why.
But black and white makes it
pretentious. Exactly.
No, like, what?
Exactly.
And you know, it's totally going to look so awesome in black and white, dude. That black Superman suit that
I know
CGI'd on his body for the whole last like third of the movie, it seems.
Yeah, that it would seemingly take away the impact of the black suit, wouldn't it?
Yeah, the regeneration and stuff,
what
it means, what it was for, and instead it's just going to be like, I wonder how he's going to explain it. Is it going to be regenerating suits as he's wearing it? Does it give him power? Like, what is the purpose of wearing it? Because it looks like he wears it at least to the start of the end fight.
Yeah.
It looks like he makes it to Russia in the black suit.
Or yeah, who knows?
Wherever, Eastern Europe. But, God, I don't think I've ever talked this much about Justice League except after I saw it and I was like, my God, that was one of the worst movies I've ever seen in my entire life.
Better than Age of Ultron.
No.
Yeah. Yep, it is. I disagree completely. I think it was fine. It was a Saturday morning cartoon. It wasn't great. It was fine. It was totally fine. Like, it was passable.
Dare you insult my Saturday morning cartoons?
I'm just saying. I thought it was pretty fun. I don't think it was better than Age of Ultron, but it was way more entertaining than Age of Ultron. Age of Ultron is so boring. So long, so boring.
I don't find that movie boring. I don't. I really don't.
I've seen it twice. I saw it twice in theaters. The second time, hoping that I was wrong. I wasn't. And then I've tried to watch it four times since, but I've only gotten halfway through each time.
That's like what we all did when we saw The Phantom Menace. I think I liked it.
I was able to see it again. I was able to convince myself that I liked that movie easily because I was younger and I didn't know any better. But when I got older and I revisited, I was just like, "Oh wait, no."
I was 14 the night that it came out, and I remember walking out of the theaters and being like, "I think I liked it. I'm pretty certain I did. I liked the lightsabers. That racing thing looked kind of cool, and the music was good. I'll see it again." I don't like this. This is garbage.
Did it really only take you two times?
This is terrible.
Did it actually take you that long? Yeah.
It took two tries for me to really be like, nope. This is no. Can't. Nope.
That's funny. But yeah, Justice League.
Like I said,
Justice League, way better than Age of Ultron. Come at me, bro. Come at me.
I know one of the movies in phase four that I've been most excited about has been Shang-Chi, and
yeah,
it just finished wrapping.
It just wrapped? Awesome. I'm really excited for that one because the lead on that one, Simu Liu, is in a great show, Canadian show called Kim's Convenience that's on Netflix. It has four seasons. And he's really funny, charismatic. So if you want to watch, see what more Shang-Chi would be like, or what Shang-Chi is like in other things, check out that show. It's awesome.
There you go. The film's director, posted to Instagram.
Who's that director? Is it Celebration? Daniel Creston? I forget his name.
Daniel Creton. Destin Daniel Creton.
Destin Daniel Creton.
Seth's article is to be believed, which Seth that's is correct. Mighty suspect. So.
No, I think Destin Daniel Creton is right. Destin Daniel. Yep, that's correct.
So that's pretty cool because they had actually me and you had not talked. Okay, I guess relatively not too long ago about the extreme measures they took to spool up shooting again with bringing in the crew first and then having them set up, be quarantined and all that, and then bringing in the actors, getting them set up.
It was like one of the first big things to hop in post quarantine.
Yep.
Post COVID,
with the new system, so
we are at an interesting point where they're gonna have so many movies in the can before they release a fucking movie because of COVID. They're gonna be set, but they're also gonna be in a hole. So
2021 maybe might possibly be. The year that MoviePass wishes had come out.
I think it's actually going to be 2022. I think it'll be 2022. So 2021, I think the end of it, we'll start to see stuff bleed out, that's not the right word, trickle out, that's a better word. We will see stuff trickle out in there, and theaters, I think, are probably going to go bankrupt and shut down. So 2021 or so, late 2021, things are going to start coming back. Then sort of the theater bandwagon can start hopping back on board. So I don't think it'll be 2020 until 2022 when things come back full force.
Yeah. Well, like I said, hopefully by middle of 21, we'll start seeing more releases. I said, I've got a lot of shit to see, and yeah, you're absolutely right. Regardless of miracles, vaccines, this, that, and the other, whatever may be, there's already been a shit ton of films that have pushed to 22. So even already, despite films that were already originally supposed to come out in 22, now you have the 20 and 21 films that were pushed to 22. So 20 pushed to 21, 20 and 21 pushed to 22. Either way, we got a potential that sometime starting next summer, a potential for just month after month after month of movie after movie after movie.
Yeah, it's going to be crazy.
I am happy about because I miss.
But we don't even know if they're going to be able to do that. That's the thing, because we don't know what theaters are going to be available, and if all the theaters aren't available, if they're still spacing stuff out, like it could be they're spacing stuff out because of pandemic related stuff, or they're spacing stuff out. By spacing stuff out, I mean spacing out seating and stuff, or theaters aren't actually open, so there aren't that enough open. Maybe out of maybe there were 5,000 theaters in the U.S. and all of a sudden now there are like 2,000. So you aren't able to go out and see them. We see lines around the block start making a comeback. And then, there's not enough money being made. And by the time that movie starts to wind down, it just started and another movie comes out, that movie can't possibly be profitable. So they're going to have to make some adjustments. Otherwise, they're going to overload the theaters. They're going to overload fans. They're going to burn them out. And then these movies that they've had in the can that cost, $200,000 or $200 million, they're not going to be profitable for them. And it's just going to look bad.
So you think they should thin it out even more?
I think they should fucking start releasing this shit on Disney Plus. That way they don't build up the back catalog.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I'll agree with that. That's like that report that Sony or who owns MGM, Sony MGM, No Time to Die is being shopped for streaming release. Have you heard about that?
Say that again.
Bond.
To Die. So very interesting. Yes, but it was instantly rebutted.
It was rebutted. Okay.
Hold on. I just saw, but maybe. Here's the thing.
Maybe.
So okay. Yes, there were talks according to Deadline, but those talks quickly crumbled. Essentially, they didn't last very long. That's what they say. Let me just look up a couple of things, just to make sure that we're completely up to date. But the rumor itself was that that they were looking to sell it to a streaming service like Apple TV Plus or Netflix. I think those were the two that were cited. Deadline says, don't hold your breath waiting to see 007 film. No, fucking ad. An ad just popped up as I was reading the title. don't waste your time waiting to see 007 film No Time to Die on streamer as cursory talks died quickly. This is from Mike Fleming Jr. At the theatrical release of No Time to Die, after the theatrical release got pushed for a fourth time, while the makers of James Bond film... Wait, will the makers give up on waiting for a pandemic to go away and instead premiere on a streaming service? Despite reports that originated in Bloomberg's scoop yesterday, sources say an emphatic no. Bloomberg wrote about a rumor that has been making the rounds the last week and a half that MGM offered the film to streamers Netflix, Apple, and Amazon for a proposed one-year license of $600 million. Exploratory dialogue between MGM and streamers did happen late September, when MGM decided to move the Bond film out of its Thanksgiving slot. The studio and Eon also considered doing a PVOD deal like the one Disney did with Mulan, charging viewers directly. But Deadline hears none of the streamers was willing to put up more than half the amount asked for the one-year license. Okay, so they wanted $600 million, but they're like, no, bitch, $300 million. More importantly, Deadline hears that James Bond franchise principal producer Barbara Broccoli flatly nixed the deal, but the whole thing was an exploration, understandable with everyone weary of waiting on a likely billion-dollar revenue event expected to happen a long time ago. And then coming from Variety, Apple, Netflix, this comes from Brent Lang and Matt Donnelly. Netflix and other streaming services explored the possibility. The films, blah, blah, blah. MGM reportedly lost between $30 to $50 million due to delays, Insider said. Bloomberg first reported the discussions. Which have been topic du jour in Hollywood this week. Other studios such as Paramount and Sony have raked in tens of millions of dollars by sending movies like Greyhound, Coming to America, and Without Remorse to streaming services, while exhibition sector continues to struggle during the pandemic. We do not comment on rumors. The film is not for sale. The film's release has been postponed until April 2021 in order to preserve the theatrical experience for moviegoers, MGM spokesperson told Variety. However, multiple insiders at rival studios and companies said that a possible Bond sale was explored overtly and believe that MGM was at least open to the possibility of unloading their crown jewel for a pricey sum, a princely sum. The studio was said to be looking for roughly $600 million, a price tag that was deemed too rich for two of the free spending streaming services. A sale of this magnitude would be led exclusively by Kevin Ulrich, blah, 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 blah. Okay, so you have one hand Deadline saying that talks quickly fell, and then on the other hand, you have an actual explicit comment, kind of. It's funny. We do not comment on rumors, but the rumor is false. That's basically what the spokesperson said. The film is not for sale. So basically a rebuttal from MGM itself, as well as something internally from a separate outlet through Deadline. So it doesn't look like it's happening, but it was explored.
Cool. Okay. There you go, Kyle. I don't. We've discussed this a million different times in a million different ways, and we still don't know what studios are actually going to do. We all have our opinions on what we think studios should do, but we're just gonna have to just wait and see as each movie's release date draws near. Does it get pushed back? Does it get a hybrid release? Does it go streaming only? Does it PVOD? Like, some of these things might even end up being movie by movie basis, but either way, one thing that I guess is fairly for certain is we are going to see Zack Snyder's Justice League at some point in 2021.
So, yes. So, the streamer is not going to push that. Yeah. There's no point. <not. laughs>
Yeah. So, thanks everyone for listening today. I realize I never did the fucking opening, so welcome back to this week's LR Morning.
What up?
The start of LR Mornings this week with Kyle and Jammer. Make sure you guys are checking out the website every single day. Subscribe to the YouTube channel. Check out our podcast network wherever you get your podcast from. You're obviously listening to this one from somewhere. Hit that subscribe button wherever you're at. And yeah, leave some comments below about what you think on the Justice League. Hit me poking at Jammer a bit. More things being pushed, and what'll happen next year /2020? Oh, no! It was Shang-Chi that we talked about. There you go. Jammer, where can people find you at online?
You can find me on Twitter at JamTheWriter and all of my entertainment musings at LRMOnline.com. And don't forget to check out my novels under the name AJ Serna on Audible and Amazon.
And you guys can find me at that Kyle Malone on Twitter. Thank you so much for listening. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
Bye.